BT, we lead local. I'm Mike Doan, WBT News.
Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WBT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
Hey, and David.
Good morning, my friend. Welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be back. Missed being with you guys and our HVAC partners. I trust everything went well.
It did. It did. Had good questions and pretty busy Saturday. So
that's good. That's good. We always get good questions when those guys are in the house. Appreciate their support. I thought this week we would look at. I was reading an article. You know, in my honest to goodness real world job, I work with a lot of single family real estate investors, right? So I get some cool publications and newsletters and stuff like that. And I got a newsletter from realestateconsulting.com. And they talked about a particular, like a trend or trends in single family homes. I thought we could talk a little bit about that this morning.
Sure.
I don't know what's out there for emails. I feel like I've been away for 100 years.
I know. You take a week off. That's what it's like. We do have got a handful of emails. They're kind of all over the board. So we'll, as time warrants, we'll certainly... Certainly check those out, and just apologize to folks that I didn't have time this week to answer the questions. And I think I had a lingering question from earlier in the month, but I was holding it for Patricia for Zeke and Scott to answer because that's what it was really about. And they did, and they answered it thoroughly, except that I'm not sure if she was listening. So I should have followed up right then. There, I have a little quirk in this program, and I cannot answer. I can read questions from my iPad, but I can't answer them. I have to go home and do it. That's trapped on the laptop. So I like it when I can answer
the podcast.
Them. Yeah, I like to answer them when they're here. You know, if I could do them right then and there, it'd be great.
Makes sense. We'll talk also, always forget to say this, we'll talk about whatever y'all want to talk about at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Give us a call on that. I have a product of the week from, I went back a little bit, David, because there was a couple weeks I missed there. So this is from August of 2006. We'll see if we're still giving out, or if the advice we gave in 2006, ever how many years ago?
For our tip of the week.
Did I say tip of the
week? Product of the week.
Oh, tip of the week.
Oh, wow. I thought you were going way back to get a product of the week.
Yeah, well, I have this, plane, a hand plane. No, tip of the week. Yeah, sorry. So tip of the week from 2006. And then we have a product of the week that I think is kind of cool. Because it solves practical problems, and that's always good. And so I think that's it. Is the Doval abode done yet?
Well, you know what? I've moved into cleaning up the garage on the house. We built a 3-car garage on that house, and 2 for the vehicles, and then 1 bay for outdoor stuff, you know, lawnmowers and weed eaters and all those things. And it's a big garage, and people really give me a crap about it because it's – but it's deep because I have a truck. And, you know, there's nothing worse than having a garage and then having the middle bay with a truck in it. And then you have to open the door to go outside so you can get to the other bay. I mean, it's first world problems. I realize that. But anyway, so
I can't tell you how many hours I've laid awake worrying about that.
Well, when you have a nice vehicle and it's parked outside in that hot sun all the time, kind of makes it sad. So, and here's the fact is it's still outside because I didn't organize the garage. So I've been cleaning and putting up hooks and that you can buy the inexpensive ones.
Yeah.
But I like all that stuff up off of the floor so that you can move it so that you can clean. So. it wasn't just a matter of, and that's what Gina said. She says, goodness gracious, how long can it take? And I'm like, well, I have a plan, so just let me be.
So there's measurements of time.
There is. You know,
seconds, so. Hours, days, months, years.
But guess what?
Centuries. Wait for it. Millennia. And I have a plan.
I have a plan. I know. I think I got this from you. So anyway, it's all good. You know what? When we when it's time to straighten up and clean up in there, or if you want to go in there and hose it out, you can just roll the stuff out of the way.
That's smart.
And it's simple and it's inexpensive to do it. You know, it just takes a little bit of time.
So. No, that's smart. I make fun of you, but the truth is you're my hero, and I haven't done it to that extent, but there's some things that I move in and out that I did put on wheels. And
yes.
And, man, Home Depot has these. This is not like a shameless plug or product of the week, but they got these new, I think it's Husky Red storage container things.
Yes.
I'm loving those.
Yeah, they're nice.
Like, I bought some of those just because, well, I should buy some of these. It's like, I'll put something in them.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're very cool.
Good.
That's not our product. All right, let's take a break. I'm sorry. I've kind of yammered on and on. We're going to take a break. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We're at 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We're going to take a break and be back to answer your home improvement questions. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. We got 715 in Charlotte, North Carolina, and we're ready for your calls. David, I alluded earlier to just this realestateconsulting.com article that I got, and it says that 70% of home buyers want a home that makes them feel better. So our Home Depot product of the week is a little doorbell. As you walk up, it says, dang, you look good. No.
It's not a bad idea, really.
Really? Yeah. Yeah, I could use a mirror in the bathroom as I shave. That's not you. You look more like Hugh Jackman. So there's like, I want to take a minute on that for a couple reasons. One is selfishly, we have always said, you know how we do our, costs. We use the cost versus annual report that comes out each year. And we talk about the different projects. And if you invest in it, how much of it will you get back when you sell your house? And people ask us the question all the time. Well, if I do this, or they make the comment, I don't know if I'll even get it out, if I'll ever get everything, you know, back out of it, which is a good question to ask. But we always interject, what is the value of you enjoying your home more, right? And it seemed to me like this article by a lady named Jenny Nichols said exactly that. It's like, hey, people are telling us they want their home to make them feel better. Now, it could be equivocation. I'm not sure, but I'm going with it. I think we've been right all along. So I like that idea. But it focuses on three what they call problems that are very real. One is just the high density. How many homes are getting packed into a very small space, geographically, plot of land, right? One of the things that used to drive me nuts when I visited Atlanta is you would see these huge homes jammed on a lot, like up the size of a postage stamp. And when Barb and I were looking for homes, we weren't looking for extravagant McMansions or stuff like that, but a nice home. And we stood on one, and I remember very clearly, we were one home. If you went on the edge of the deck of this particular home and reached out, we would be able to shake hands with the person who stood at the edge of their deck on the lot next door. And like, I grew up in the city, and I'm kind of done. I'm over that. So that's a problem. And there's a thousand reasons financially and systemically, just issues with homes and stuff that's not part of this conversation or topics for this call. But the fact of the matter is that there are states where you can fundamentally build, you know, a mini garage on a property and occupy it because you can't afford to have a normal house anywhere else. So, so it's a high density issue. Then there's social isolation, right? So we're kind of still isolated from people, and so there's a desire to be able to collaborate. And concurrent, and it almost feels contradictory, people still want a place for peace and quiet. So think about it. If you got to use your home to do all of the you know, like socializing, you might also, if your family's always there 24/7, you might also want just a quiet place to get away.
Right.
So those are the three things that they tackle. I thought it's worth talking about. So.
Yeah. See, at my house, you just go upstairs in the shop. There's nothing up there, but just some storage, but it's quiet.
And you know, put a lawn chair up there.
I have one up there.
Okay, see? All right, I rest my case.
Thinking about putting a hammock.
No, get a recliner.
Yeah, that'd be the only place I'd be allowed to have one.
Gina's listening.
We actually have a recliner in our couch, but it's not. It faces the front door.
Well, I think that we'll tackle each of the solutions, because I think the solutions are just really good topics for discussion. And it's not like you got to retool the world or move walls or spend, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to address it. So let me just call out. If you're tired of listening to this, 704-570-1110. If you want to comment on this, certainly that's a good number also. But to stay on topic for a second, let's just take the whole issue of packed in, you know, homes being packed in together. We've already seen for many, many years, I think, two things getting solved. First off, is just creating spaces outside that are more kind of nature, right? So if you've got a backyard, what do you do by way of garden and plantings and so on? So you can have a sense of nature, even if it's one dandelion coming out of the joints of the concrete. That's terrible. And then inside the house, David, you and I have talked about this, and people have kind of gone through trends on it. But just think about, like, the Velux products. What you can do with the skylight, and they have so much more than skylights. And, right. Isn't like a paid announcement from Velux. I just happen to be a Velux fan, and they happen to have some pretty amazing products. But think about, like, skylights and all the different things, you know, what is it? It looks like a skylight, but it opens up on a dormer and you can literally walk out onto it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's some things like that you can do without spending tons of money to kind of bring the nature in.
Right.
Did you do, I can't remember if you did skylights or anything in
the house. We did not. We just didn't need it because the way we did our windows, we have so much light that comes in. We kind of displayed our backyard to the interior of the living space.
Okay, but so that case in point, right?
Yes, and that's what we did. That was why, because when you can't be out there, you can at least look at it and wish you were out there.
Yeah. I think that's just a case in point. And so I think you make a really good point in that you don't have to do all kinds of exotic things. You can just open up windows and bring in natural light or have a line of sight to the exterior.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a worthwhile thing. So the second one, I mean, I wrote a couple of things. I said porch windows. We got that. Then the other one was a need for common areas in the house. And I mean, if do you watch any of the like the fix and flip shows on TV?
I have, but I don't do it regularly.
No, Barb went on a binge. I don't watch a lot of TV personally. I just can't. I have things to do. Don't sit still as a general for that. But she went on a binge and was just watching all these things. And I realized it's just not a home improvement project if you don't move a wall.
Right.
Right. And that's not always easy, not always smart. And I'm thinking, well, you want to open up big areas, move a wall. But maybe it's as simple as moving furniture. Right. So you've got a family room. You've got, I don't know, kitchen, dining area. Rethink, get a designer in to rethink it with you and move the furniture around so it's more accommodating for congregating. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and it may even be changing some of it out so that you can make little conversation areas or...
What are those? I see them advertised. The like the cube kind of couches that you can reshape and recover and reconfigure.
Yeah, I've seen that. Pretty neat.
They're expensive. I've actually checked them out when we were doing the basement. But if you compare the cost of that to the cost of moving walls and tearing things up, it's a very smart decision.
Right.
Anyway, all right. So we're getting close to a break here. Folks, if you got questions or topics you want to talk about, size, what makes your home feel, makes you feel better, give us a call. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110, and we'll talk about the home improvement projects that are important to you. Also, remember, you can go to AskJohnAndDave.com, click on the questions button, send us a question that way. We'll probably tackle some of those emails here in the next hour or so. Home Improvement, John and Dave, coming right back. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And we have some lines open. We're at 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. We've been talking about just things that make your home, or that make you feel better about your homes. And one of the things might be to get bugs out of it. So let's talk to Joe. Joe, good morning. How are you this morning?
The old TV radio guy. Reason I called you this morning is very simple. I want to save your listeners some money. I am in the middle, and I'm laughing, of the great bug war of 2021. Fruit flies, and the only fruit that I own are in cans from Walmart. What's happened is they came, I'm in a condo, second floor, as I've told you, and what happened is they came up the pipes, at the own conclusion from downstairs, where she's got the same problem. But to save your people some money, because of 100, 200, whatever it costs to bring in the bug guy, the bomb or whatever they got to do, is I took and put out plates around the condo with apple vinegar and Palmolive spray bottles, so I got foam bubbles. And it's killing them off, I'm telling you, by the hundreds. I kid you not. And the other thing is I do recommend them to go to Home Depot, your guys, and buy those little red fruit fly traps and put them with or in or around the vinegar. Apple vinegar seems to attract them, and then they go inside and they die inside the trap. Now, the next thing I'm going to do for you is I got up this morning, and I was shaving, and I had my day. Now, I told you about John Wayne and RFD TV. Well, you're an affiliate of Fox. And this morning, and I think we can thank P. Hetzig on Fox News Channel for pushing this, but they had the Air Force Band and the rifle. The guy's doing the rifles. My son, in fact, used to do it with the ROTC. It's kind of dangerous with knives. I assume they're going to do it tomorrow at 6 o'clock, too. But it was outstanding. And your people, I think, like I said, I think Pete Hetzig, the guy on there, has been pushing this, and it's shows you pictures all over the country like John Wayne did, but they show the cities, not the country. So anyway, for your listeners, and also, I still owe you guys two books and Vince Coakley a book. I've been sick, still sick. Don't get old. Bottom line is,
I prefer to get old.
Studio, because I'd like to shake somebody's hand and take a look around the studio. It's been years since I've been in a studio. So thank you for giving me the time. Can I mention my book or not?
We're holding our breath waiting for it, so I can't respond.
Early retirement. A roadmap to success. I retired at 45, so I'm not too stupid and rather comfortable. I'm up by the peninsula. I thank you for your time and the time you gave me on air.
Have a great day, Joe. David, to Joe's point on home improvement, there does seem to be a bumper crop of fruit flies this year. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, we haven't really had them. I think I might have saw one at the house, but just around the garbage disposal. But we had a bunch of people over Labor Day, so
it's in Wilmington when I was there with the kids.
Yeah, they have them all the time, so
yeah,
it's ripe there.
So I'm not sure what drives all that, but the vinegar thing does seem to work.
Yeah, so what is it, apple cider vinegar and soap?
Yeah. Or red wine vinegar and soap. I can't remember.
Yeah, I've seen that too.
Anyway.
So whatever works. I think there's a bunch of stuff that works.
So, all right, so we're talking about making your home, doing things to your home that make you feel happier, make you feel, I don't know, more comfortable.
More comfortable.
Feel better.
Yeah.
Feel better. They would talk about common areas. We talked about moving furniture versus moving walls. And I think that makes sense. The other thing, so here's an example. So I was in a house last week and they had a bay window, right? So like a family room's got a bay window and you put your chairs and stuff in it. The family room kind of butts up to the kitchen. No walls moved, but they built a a little seat. You know how you do a window seat in a bay window area, right? Well, they built a little bigger version of that. Put nice cushions and stuff on it. So if you're just entertaining or just hanging around, people can be in the kitchen on chairs, in the family room in seating, and then also on the window seats. It would actually be comfortable to sit there. Then for bigger events, they just slide the kitchen table over that area. That window seat becomes seating for the kitchen table, and now their capacity has been increased. Just simple little things. There was no wall moving involved. There was nothing tricky. Seemed to me that struck me as that's a pretty smart call. Not necessarily David Dovell smart, because the kitchen table would have been on rollers. But pretty smart. Uh-huh.
Slides, man. Slides.
Slides, right. So that's, I just want to get people thinking down that path. Because I think I think that this trend of being in your home is more than not, it seems to be the way things are going to go. And
I think so too. I think there's a lot of reasons for it, but what caused it? But I think what's going to happen is it's going to affect the bottom line of companies, and it's cheaper for them to let you stay at home than it is to have office space.
Yeah.
In the end, because everything that goes along with that. So I don't know what that's going to do to the tax base out there, but
don't even start that. They'll fix that.
Do
we know how to fix the tax base or what?
Yeah.
So we got that covered. So, I think the other thing that came out of that is, this came up when we were doing some panel stuff at the Harvard thing, and people discovered that they were with their families. And I think a lot of people would want to tell you, oh my God, I hate it. I was locked up with my family. 9 out of 10 people who got back together with their families routinely were like, I kind of like this. I like my family. I like doing things with my family. And so, the design questions and the things that came up from a remodeling perspective were all about accommodating more family activities.
Absolutely. So, yes.
I mean, at the risk of sounding old-fashioned, I think fundamentally we are wired as human beings to be part of a family, and therefore just what's natural is kind of coming back out,
which
may
not
be a bad thing.
Good thing.
May not be a bad thing, right? I slept past our break again, didn't I? Holy cow. All right, let's take a break. 704-570-1110. Home Improvement with John and Dave. Coming right back. Welcome back. Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
We've got some lines open at 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. David, I should hand the microphone over to you. I'm like just like blabber, 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 blabber on this thing because I got it wrapped in my head. let's do product of the week though, because I like this one.
Okay.
I like them all, but I'm kind of a home improvement nerd junkie. But the these are the Liberty Hardware adjustable cabinet pulls. You know, David, just doing in renovation, sometimes the best thing to do is leave kitchen cabinets alone if they're in good shape, do some floor and different things, right?
Right.
But just changing out the hardware gives it a facelift. And the problem is if you've got pulls that are like 4 inches on center and you like something, you know, that's wider or narrower, you're kind of constrained to either putting something on that has a back plate and to cover the holes or putting something in that has the exact same bores on the drawers and so on. Right.
Sure.
Liberty has this adjustable hardware. So you have to go online and look it out. I'm not going to do it justice. But they've got some that go with a spread where the spread can be from 1 to 4 inches. But the same pull works. One goes from, this is a monster, goes from 2 inches to almost 8.5. Actually, almost 9 inches. So those would be, I guess you could use them vertically or horizontally. But regardless, go check them out. It's just go to HomeDepot.com and type in adjustable cabinet hardware, and it all comes up. The other thing that you and I have talked about as a, I don't know if we made it a formal tip of the week, but Liberty makes a template for mounting hardware. So if there's no borings and no drill hole, you know, holes drilled in the door, this is a template that fits on, you know, the corner or the edge of each door and to mark your spots to drill. So you always get every single knob in the precisely the same place.
Exactly.
On the door and so on. So it's very, very inexpensive, and but saves you a lot of headaches of just careful measuring and then maybe it's still not getting it right. So
yeah, it's worth every penny, and they're not very expensive.
They're not very expensive.
No.
So anyway, that's that. And I haven't asked. I think you said you might even have some before we go. Talking about how to create spaces in your home for a little bit of peace and quiet. You know, we talked about bringing nature in, opening up to be social, but now also you might want a quiet place. Before we do that, do we have some emails? Well, we got lines open. I don't, folks are sleeping this morning. 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. Give us a call. Email stuff we should look at?
We do. And real quick, I just wanted to, you brought up something and I've thought about this before and wanted to mention it, but it just never comes up. But you're talking about the adjustable hardware, Liberty mm-hmm. Hardware. And that is a really neat product for a lot of reasons. But, one of the things, if you don't have holes and you have to drill them, just a quick tip is you should, after you mark your holes and you're ready to drill, you should get a scrap piece of wood and hold on to the inside of the drawer or the back of the door when you drill. What that does, if you hold it tight, usually if you can make it a little bit bigger, you can get a non-marring clamp and clamp it on there. But when you drill through, the wood won't explode.
Yep.
Because usually what it does is when that bit goes through, it tends to splinter out. And then your first thing is to grab it and break it off or pull it. Well, then it the splinter, then it's connected, and you want, how I know that. So, and the other thing is that if it's not a full overlay door, in other words, if there's a rail or a stile sticking down when you put the handle on, you should make sure that you open the doors to drill holes. Because what would happen is you could drill if the handles happen to be high for some reason, you'll hit the rail.
Yeah.
So yeah. So there's that too. I didn't do that. My son did. He was helping me one day. I was like, that's okay.
Try to learn. We call that tuition.
He just barely went into it. I caught him at luckily. When we order cabinets or anything, we always order the touch-up kit.
Yeah,
you know, get the wax stick, get the paint that matches it, because it'll come from the factory. When you take it out of the box, there's liable to be a dent or a ding, or it's impossible to get them perfect. And wow. and the other thing is there is no such thing as perfect. So kind of sometimes you got to let that stuff go and just fix it and pretend like it wasn't there. It's not that big of a deal. Trust me, in 5 years from now, there'll be plenty more to go with it.
Yeah. So, and things are going to happen in the course of using it.
Well, but, yeah.
Right.
Sure.
It's like your truck. The first year, 2 years, whatever, it's like everything. And then pretty soon you're like, ah, it's a truck.
Yeah. Well, that was my deal with that was I had a square in my arm, and I reached back in the truck with my other hand. The second day I had the truck to get my cup of coffee, and I put a big scratch right down the back door of the truck with the square as I reached and twisted to get in the truck. And it's right there for me every time that I get in that truck. I see that, and I remember what happened.
Well, I'm waiting. This is true confession time, apparently, because, like, you know, we have those nice chairs in the family room that Barb loves. And that's also my prayer chair. I do some journaling there, so I have a pen out. Well, this week, like, I was pushing myself out of the chair, I didn't realize the pen was still open, and I left this tiny little pen marker on the arm of the chair. So I'm waiting to see when I hear about that.
Folex will take that out.
Will it?
Yep.
I haven't even tried.
It'll work.
All right. Ken wants to talk. Ken, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
Good, good. So I recently got a new air handler and under the house. It condensates water like crazy. In fact, I got a huge tub under there that's capturing it, and I have to use a water pump to get all the water out. My old air handler hardly ever condensated water. Just your thoughts on what I can do to stop it condensating so much water?
Tell us what is the water on the outside of the unit collecting?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, so it's dripping, condensating all along the bottom of the air handler.
Right. Well, I mean, it's probably because it's so efficient and cold in that warmer crawl space in that environment. That's why it's condensating. It should be somewhat insulated, but I don't think all of those parts are insulated.
Right.
I hate to tell you this, but it's really a matter of getting the temperature a little closer in the crawl space. Are all your vents open?
I keep all my vents closed.
So they are closed? Are you controlling the humidity in the crawl space?
So I've thought about, you know, putting a humidifier down there.
A dehumidifier? Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I'm giving that. So I have a 6-foot-high crawl space.
Okay.
Hey, Ken, do me a favor. We're going to be right up against a break here, and I'd love to go through this because we'll do it off the air if we have to, but we'd love for our listeners to hear it. So if you don't mind, I'm going to pop you on hold for 1 second. Folks, this is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back to answer your home improvement questions right after these important messages.
Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And we're going to go back and talk to Ken, who was patiently waiting. Ken, thanks for waiting through the break because it's a great question, and we want to talk about it. You talked about a lot of condensation happening on the outside of your AC unit in the crawl space, not the condensate that comes from the air conditioner. And then, David, you were getting down the path of controlling the humidity in the crawl space, I think, and that's where we had a break.
Yeah, that's where we need to go. So temperature. So the biggest problem that you're having is temperature difference between the actual unit, so the case around your furnace, the metal, and then the temperature in the crawl space, and then of course dew point, humidity, all that plays into that. So that's what needs to be corrected, because I don't think there's any way for them to really insulate the unit. I like the fact that it's a 6 foot tall. So is your furnace hanging? Yep. Or is it okay? So it is a horizontal.
Yep.
Okay, so it's off of the floor. So for the time being, so how are you catching the condensation now?
So I have a big bucket, like a 50-gallon tub that sits underneath it.
Right.
And there's probably I went down there this morning and probably did 35 gallons in there from collecting over a week and a half. So
right.
I'm going to go get my pump and pump that out.
Right.
Do I put insulation on the bottom of this thing just to kind of keep
it's probably the whole unit. That's just where the water's dripping down. My thoughts are is that whatever part of the furnace, probably where the coil is the coldest part.
Right.
And it's probably creating condensation around the entire, all sides of it, because it's cold and it's exposed. It's cold on the inside and a different temperature on the outside. It's no different than setting a glass of ice water on your counter inside the house. It's the same thing, but in there you put a coaster.
Could I just create a tin that goes underneath the air handler? It's rectangular. Create that under there and then pump.
You could put an automatic pump, and you could certainly do that. And if you kept the water, if it gets to treat it like a sump pump, and so if it got to a certain point, you could certainly do that. I think better maybe would be to get a device to measure temperature and humidity in that crawl space and see where you're at. So they make you can just buy a weather station. It's a wireless weather station. They sell them at most box stores. Home Depot has them, I'm sure. You can order them, but anyway, it has a transmitter and a receiver. They run by batteries, and so the first thing you need to do is find out what the temperature in that crawl space is and the humidity, and deal with those, and then from there I think you could probably get the condensation under control. How big is the crawl space?
1500 square foot.
Okay, so and it's a lot. So is it 6 foot and it tapers to a shorter? Are you on a slope lot?
Probably 10%.
Okay. And what is it? What does the crawl space go down to? Is it narrower up at the top most likely?
So at the top. So and then it slopes from the right corner to the left corner. But not enough. I mean, you can just walk around. I use it for storage underneath there, and I store a bunch of stuff under there. But, what would be the idea? I mean, if I did put, I'd have to get a nice size dehumidifier, but what should my optimal humidity level be underneath that house?
Somewhere in the 60% range. It's about controlling wood moisture content. So we don't want to dry the house out so much that your floors start creaking, probably worse than what they are now. If you have hardwoods, it tends to dry them out and they separate. You get cracks and joints, and it can even dry out your structural timbers, your main beams, and allow the house to settle more. Right. And then you start getting cracking and drywall, molding start pulling apart, and so on and so forth. So it's a, it's kind of a touchy business, and you have to maintain some moisture content in the wood. So I'm almost wondering if you call your AC guy back out, maybe, you know, some people say that you can ventilate from the outside with ventilation, and there's a whole system that does that. And then the other argument is dehumidifier set at about 60% with the vents all closed. But if you have a gas furnace, that can be a problem too. I don't know if you're gas or electric.
It's not a heat pump.
Okay. Well, that's good.
It's simple having a fan blowing on the bottom of that thing, you know, aiming it towards the bottom.
I mean, you could certainly try it and see if it would change the temperature in there. That's the problem, is that you have a temperature difference. It's, I think if you put a thermometer in there, you're going to find out it's much warmer than the furnace carcass itself, the case of the furnace. So that air mover is getting really cold, and it's a warmer environment. This problem will cease in the wintertime, most likely.
Yeah,
obviously,
right.
even when you're still running air conditioning, but the temperature changes a little bit outside. So I think you have to go from there, and then maybe even since you're using it for storage, you may want to think about sealing this thing up tight and dumping some of that air and heat in that crawl space and having a make it part of the house.
Right. Okay. And I've thought about that, putting some foam board around all the vents and around the walls.
Talk to your HVAC contractor and see if that unit's big enough to be able to dump some of that conditioned air into that space.
Okay.
All right. If you have any more questions, shoot us a note at our website, askjohnanddave.com.
All right. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
And I wonder, I think addressing the crawl space at large from a humidity perspective, even if you don't close it in, probably makes the most sense.
Yeah,
but
I do too.
You know, condensate pump on the dehumidifier and go. The other thing that I wonder is to call his HVAC person back. And I'm willing to bet that he's not the only person. I bet that's a unit that they build. People have you know, human crawl spaces. And I just wonder if there's not some sort of insulation. You know, you get the insulation blankets.
Sure, for a water heater.
Yeah, well, that's thick. But I just wonder, even if in the design of the equipment, there's some, like, the flexible insulation or a board, you know, an insul board type product.
Sure.
That may actually be missing from his unit.
It's possible.
I mean, I think your advice to call the HVAC person back out to take a look at it is probably the most solid.
Yeah, and find out what's going on, and you know, that might you might be right. That might answer the question right there. So,
all right, we got to take a break. 704-570-1110. Give us a call. Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave is coming right back. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon,
and I'm Dave Doval.
And we've got lines available. We're at 704-570-1110. Pardon me, 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We'll talk about what's important to you. David, real quick, we can take a peek at our tip of the week, maybe some emails. What do you think?
Yeah, do tip of the week, and then we'll do emails. We got a call coming in. So.
All right, we'll let all that roll. So this week's tip, this is from August of 2006. This week's tip comes from Who Sizes in Tears Shall Rip Rejoicing. Without reading the whole thing, bottom line, we said if you're hanging wallpaper, you got to make sure that you put sizing on the wall before you put your wallpaper up. And then it'll be much easier if you decide to change wallpaper to take it down. True still, right? But who's using wallpaper?
That's coming back.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's good or not.
Yeah, I know. But, yeah, I understand it's coming back. But, yeah, still you want to put something underneath it so that it's not pulling directly on the dry wallpaper.
It keeps the glue from the wallpaper from soaking into the paper on the drywall so that it all comes off at the same time, because that is a mess.
It is.
Let's talk to Dan. Good morning, Dan. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
Hey, great, guys. Good morning. Big question for you. I'm looking at laying out some pavers in the patio and some little walkways in the yard. And, of course, you know, the soil here is kind of nice and hard clay. Bit of a pain to kind of excavate out of there.
Yeah.
So I was looking, they have this new system out there that's like a plastic, like, tray support system that you don't have to excavate out as much. You just need a layer of sand, and you lay this, I guess, substrate down, and you lay the pavers directly on that. Have you all had any experience with that, and what are your thoughts?
I've seen it, but I have not seen it long term.
Right.
Yeah, I've looked at it, but not used it. I like the idea. I think that the concern is you get some stability in the system, but I still have a question about what happens with the soil.
Yeah, with heavy rains or prolonged rains. Because remember, wet goes to dry. So even though you're putting pavers down, of course, they're permeable, but water from the outside of the pavers can be drawn in from the soil that's from where it's really wet to where it's dry underneath. So that becomes the question. I don't know. I'm still kind of old school on that. I think you dig out the dirt, you put in the stone, you pack it in 3 or 4 inch lifts, and you do it until you're at the height you need to be. You establish your grade and fall, and then you put your sand in your pavers. And I still think that's the best way, because I think you create a really strong foundation for the pavers for the long haul, and I think you also create a drainage plane, and you get the water out of there. So
yeah, no, that's the right way, but man, so much more work.
Yeah,
I know, and it costs more money, but if you do that work that you're going to do, and if it settles, you know, then you take it all up and you do that anyway, so you've spent even more money.
Yeah, I might just have to go ahead and break down and rent a little bobcat and do it, because it's you know, this place hole is so hard to dig out, you know, as deep as you need to go for these pavers, you know.
It is, it's exactly what they do, and of some friends of mine that are in those businesses, that's what they talk about, is the guy that comes out and undercuts them by a substantial amount. He's laying the pavers, and they do a beautiful job on top. Of course, you're getting the taillight warranty in, you know, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, when it's all settling, maybe not even that long. It's, you know, you have a mess on your hands.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, guys, I appreciate it.
Well, stay listening too, Dan, because if anybody has used those mat systems and they've had it down for multiple years, let us know. I don't know how long they've been around, so.
I don't think they've been around that long. I just recently noticed them, like, last 2-3 months. So
yeah, I've seen them over the last
been around,
couple
Yeah, they've been around
years.
A little while, Dan. Yeah. And I'm wondering if a compromise isn't the solution. But I think, to your point, you're still going to have to do some kind of treatment to the soil, because it does call for a sand bed, I believe, in the to lay the system on, correct?
Yeah, they call for 1-inch beds, what they recommend on the videos, you know, the product, you know. So, I mean, that does help with some drainage, I suppose.
Right. I wonder if you could just doctor that a little bit. You got to be really careful, warranties and all that stuff. But maybe, David, scraping that a little bit and putting a stone bed in there with the sand on top would maybe carry a little more water away. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you got to have some sort of base for drainage.
Yeah.
Well, I'll do some more research, and of course, we'll welcome any calls, like you said, that people may have done this before, and get some more feedback. I think it'd be a really good thing for people to know.
Excellent. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, guys, have a great day. Appreciate
you
your time.
Thanks for your call, Dan.
You bet.
Always that delicate balance between investing time and on the front end and getting time on the back end.
Yeah, and you just, you know, you don't want to spoil someone's fun, you know, if there's an easy way out for that.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. I just think the way this soil moves and shifts and the way that it can take water on and give it off is just if there's not a better place than the Piedmont to put down some gravel and, you know, whether you're pouring concrete or anything, you just end up with a better product on top.
Yeah. So. All right. We've got lines open. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. 570-1110. Give us a call. We'll talk about your project, your questions. David, before we go back into some of the make the house that makes you feel better, any email stuff we want to take a look at?
Yeah, and I think I got enough time to do this one. So Patricia had written in about they had a hardwood floors installed in their great room and down a hallway. And as the flooring contractor peeled back the carpet, he found a problem in the hallway where the floor was a little weak and was at a different height. So I think he filled it in with some floor leveler and plywood. And then I'm not sure that he covered it, but the floor was still moving and there was some squeaking, and he tried multiple times to fix it. And so their thought process is there's something wrong underneath the house, and that would be a accurate thought. Really what needs to happen is they need to get someone out to do an inspection in the crawl space and find out what's going on. So she said at one time they had a pipe leaking underneath there, so that leads me to believe that there could be multiple things could be the culprit. So,
yeah.
It could be a footing, could be a settled pier, could be rot. Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. So it could be just a single joist. It could be just the plywood underneath. It could be a beam. You know, you don't know until you get someone underneath there. So, and then here's the kicker. Technically, when you put hardwood floors down, according to the Hardwood Flooring Association, your flooring contractor should make a visit underneath the house. They're supposed to be checking wood moisture content. They're supposed to be checking to see if there's a vapor barrier down under that area. And then just structurally just taking a quick peek to make sure that everything's in good shape. Because, of course, why would you go put down a nice floor, an expensive floor, over a substrate that's not ready for it?
Perfect. All right. Good deal. Thank you for that. Folks, this is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We're going to sneak off for a little break here. We'll be back to answer your questions. You can call us at 704-570-1110 or go to AskJohnAndDave.com and click on the questions button. Then we can answer your questions that way as well. Stay tuned. The Home Depot Home Improvement Show is coming right back. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
704-570-1110. Got lines open, got lines full. Let's go right there and talk to Johnny. Johnny, good morning. You're on Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm great. How are you guys?
Excellent.
Good. Well, listen, guys, I'm having a little internal battle here with my wife in the house and trying to figure out if it's time to paint.
Wait a minute. We got to set the timer here. Hang on. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, just want to know if it's time to paint the house.
What does your wife say?
Yep.
Does she think it's time to paint the house?
I think it's time to paint the house. She thinks it's time to just repair a couple pieces of wood that are rotten. So,
okay. You want to be right, yeah, or you want to be happy?
That's right. That's right.
Tell us what the scenario is. Like, what you think repairs are there so we can kind of help you through it.
Yeah, we got it's a two-story salt box house built in 77. Last time it was painted, 2014. So I'm starting to, walk around the house, seeing some rotten wood and things like that. Just wanted to know, I got three quotes. I got one of the guys that came out, said they gave me a lifetime warranty. It was $50,000. I said, see you later. And then I got a couple other quotes. One was 10, one was 7, so... Oh, what do you guys think? I mean, is it time to paint the house?
Well, 7 years, so it depends on your exposure. Do you get all-day sun on a couple sides of the house?
We got a huge tree canopy. It stays pretty shady.
Okay. So the sun's not discoloring it, so have you tried to wash it? It's going to have to be washed anyway before it's painted.
No, we haven't had it washed at all. Not seeing any flaky or chipped paint.
I think that I might
with his wife.
I think you may want to try to get it cleaned up first. You're going to have to replace the wood, and now of course that entails painting the wood back. And are you going to be able to match the color and all of that? So could certainly lead to it. But if it's not flaking, if it's not chipping and peeling, what you may want to do is just replace the wood, wash the house, paint those areas that need to be matched up or get it close, and decide after you wash the house if it needs to be painted.
Got it. And then taking my wife's side, right?
Well, no, I just thought with you, after you said that you're shaded and you're not getting bleached out by the sun, because I thought maybe the color was fading real bad.
It's pure. Yeah, it's White House. In the shades. That's a good idea.
I would clean it. You're going to have it cleaned anyway, and your painter's including that. So you'll just have them remove that off of their price.
Okay, got it. Any folks you recommend around Charlotte?
Oh, there's a ton of folks that wash houses. So you just are going to have to. We really don't have anyone anymore. We used to know a guy that was doing that, but I think he's out of the business.
Got it.
But there's plenty of them out there. Look for someone that uses the soft wash technology. Seems to be the real deal. So they're using chemicals. I'm a real fan of somebody that uses a soft brush, a car wash brush, and they brush it and clean it. I think you get the house cleaner that way. And
is A Right Way still out there doing that stuff?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay,
got it. All right, guys, we'll get to work. I appreciate it.
Thanks, right, Johnny.
Man. Good luck.
Right. Bye.
I don't think you want to think it so much as taking your wife's side as making a data-driven decision.
Well, yeah, absolutely. So
nothing says longevity in marriage like keeping score or taking sides.
Right.
Okay, Joe, you're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
Well, I'm good. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I actually turned on the program just at the tail end when you were talking about peat moss and gravel and all that and areas that won't grow grass. So we have a side of our house that gets a lot of shade. Mm-hmm. And it's just a narrow strip on the side of our house between that and the border trees. Mm-hmm. So we have cypress trees.
Okay.
And it does not grow grass. We tried and tried. Now it did a little better when we aerated. Mm-hmm. But my husband's thinking peat moss and gravel. And because I got at the tail end of your program, I didn't know what y'all were recommending.
So if you're thinking you've got an area that doesn't, the grass just won't grow, and you want to do something else, you're thinking, hey, do a some sort of base and put gravel in there, and then do you want to have like some step stones in there or just a gravel area? Because you really don't have to, you just want to have gravel. Which is the case?
Grass.
Okay. So then you're going to have to, David and I are not super, super smart on the whole landscaping thing, but if you really want grass, there are a couple things you're going to have to do. You're going to have to amend that soil substantially. So that means tilling it up, adding a product like Nature's Helper, peat moss, things like that, sand, because you've got to give the grass a place where that's going to hold moisture adequately, but not too much. And then you need to get, whether it's a Rebels shade blend, there's a number of different blends of grass, but you need for dense shade. So that's a grass that's going to grow in minimal sunlight, and it can be done,
that?
But
I mean,
prepare
it's
to do
rock.
A lot of work on the soil.
Well, you have to go in and till it. And the other problem is with the cypress trees along that side, are they Leyland cypress? Is that what you have?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're going to get into roots. So I think you've got several problems there, and I don't know how much sun you get there. Like John said, you have to go with the shady grass. You know, maybe
we get no sun there.
Okay, so here's my suggestion. My first suggestion would be the gravel, just because I think it'll promote drainage. It'll stay dry. You're not getting much sun for it to dry out, so it's going to allow the water to run away. If you don't do that and you like the green, then compromise. It's going to have gravel underneath and put down artificial turf.
Oh,
that's not a bad idea.
It's green. Hey, my friend does it all the time. They have a business. That's all they do, and it's awesome.
Hey, Joe, hang on a second. We want to go there, and I've gone way past the break here, but I've tried to talk my wife into that concept for a while. So hang tight. We're going to put you on hold. We're going to take a little break from the Home Depot Home Improvement Show and be right back. Welcome back. the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doeful.
Got lines open at 704-570-1110. In our lightning round, we're going to talk to Joe. Joe, thanks for waiting through the break. Jenny, don't go away. We see you out there. So, Joe, David's point, artificial turf. What do you think?
I have seen it over in the Chantilly neighborhoods, and I think it looks pretty nice. Talking my husband into it might be a different matter, but he is getting really tired of having to ameliorate different lawn areas.
Yep. Yeah, the cost is there's a little bit of cost associated with it, but if you do anything else, if you dig out some dirt and put gravel in there, or you just bring gravel in, you're going to have to put down some type of landscape fabric. You've already got cost involved in that. Mm-hmm. I would just see how much more it would cost to put the turf. It's an ideal spot for it. You get the green that you're looking for. It promotes drainage because it's perforated. It's not going to interfere with your trees that are over there. You're not going to get into the roots. They may end up cutting a little bit of that out because they have to put some gravel underneath. But
can you put stepping stones in it?
You could put stepping stones in it. I don't see why you couldn't. They can cut right around it and drop the stones in, and the grass will come up around it. It'll look just like a real lawn. And it's shaded, which is even nicer because, remember, that stuff's made from polypropylene. Basically, it's made from plastic drink bottles. So when it's out in the direct sunlight, it can get a little bit warm.
So do you recommend anyone?
Artificial turf out in Matthews. Jeff Gross is the owner. Good company, great guy, and they do really good work. He's been doing it before it ever became popular. So they used to do a lot of football fields is where he cut his teeth.
Okay, cool.
Hey, Joe, and if your husband is not sure yet, I mean, seriously, have him send us a note at askjohnanddave.com. And David, flip that over to me, and I'll kind of walk him through what I've looked at here, because I really think it makes sense to do that.
Yeah, a lot of folks are switching that. A lot of people are being forced to switch that in other parts of the country because they don't have water for the grass. So it does two things. It's permeable, so it still allows the water to go through and soak in to help us alleviate some of the water runoff, which is why all of our creeks and tributaries are overflowing, because we've created a concrete jungle out there is what's going on. So
I got a couple things going for me and trying to talk to him about it. Number one, he's a plastic chemical biologist. So that's number one. I know he'll think it's safe and all of that. So that'll be great.
Yeah, and all you'll need is a leaf blower over there.
Well, not really. All we have is Leland's.
There you go. Perfect.
Thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call, Joe. Great question. Uh-huh. Joe goes away to work with her husband on artificial turf, and Janie joins us. Good morning, Janie. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement
Good
Show.
Morning.
How are you?
How are you?
Great.
All right, I have a question.
Okay.
I have a cousin up north, and she had her complete basement sprayed with a spray-on foam that when it dries looks to me like styrofoam.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It cut her heating bill in half. Mm-hmm. Does anybody use that around here?
Well, yeah, but just like you would expect in the north, cold is the issue. In the south, heat is the issue. So the spray-on foam traditionally, or is most commonly used in this climate, in the attic, sprayed up into your rafters, and it takes your average attic temperature in the summer from 140, 150, 180 down to 80, 90 degrees, if done properly. So yeah, it's a great product. We've even had recountings, Janie, of folks who've insulated their entire home, exterior walls, attic, and so on. His joke was, I can heat with a candle. Hyperbole for sure. But David, you sprayed your attic. You probably have some guidance for Janie. Yeah,
I did, and it's amazing. Our attic has never been over 85 degrees in the summer. We can store things up there. Our ductwork is in the attic, so we're not heating up our ductwork with that hot summer air. And we're cooling a 3,000 square foot house that is with no shade, and it's our power bills are hovering right around $140-$150 a month, and we're completely comfortable.
Your floors.
It's not necessary here. You cannot.
I have cold floors.
I know, but you're better to put socks. It's not going to. It's still going to be the temperature of the room.
You're feeling, Janie. People say the floor is cold or the ceramic tile is cold when I walk into it. Well, if your room is 72 degrees, your ceramic tile is 72 degrees also. The problem is ceramic conducts heat away faster than carpet does, right? So it's not a good insulator. So it feels colder because it draws heat from your feet. You can do some things to warm up the floor, but you're not going to save a dime fundamentally by doing something to insulate your crawl space. We cited a study out of Texas probably 15 years ago, maybe 20 now, where they did that. They checked insulating the crawl space versus not insulating it, sealing it and stuff, and what the impact was on energy bills, and it was statistically insignificant. But you're talking about comfort versus energy, is that right?
Yes, sir.
What you really need?
Does anybody do it around here?
Well, yeah, there's plenty of companies that spray foam. That's not going to make your floor warmer. What you need is a heat strip in your floor. So you can, I don't know what's on your floors, but you can put a low voltage system down underneath that goes underneath your flooring, and you can raise that temperature of the floor up. But the insulation under the floor is not going to make it warmer.
Okay.
Hope that makes sense.
Can you suggest somebody who does that?
Sure. Austin Insulation.
Do they work in York County? Do you know?
They do. They're actually in York County.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Janie.
Bye.
David, if she's got flooring down now and she's on a crawl space, there's actually some systems that you can put up underneath in the structure as well, correct?
And she'll spend about the same amount of money most likely. So yeah. That's what I would do. And then she can control it. You know, they have timers, and if you want a warm floor, which that's actually the name of one of the warm floor is one of the units. The other thing you could do is you could put in a hydronic system so that you're running PEX pipe underneath in the floors, and it has a reflector, a silver reflector, and so the pipe goes up, and then you put the reflector up, and that heat actually heats the house and the floor, so it'll radiate through, so you kind of get the best of both worlds.
Yeah. My cousin just built a garage that would rival yours, David. It has its own zip code. Very cool, but he did. That's exactly what he did to heat one section of it. Just ran plumbing. He's a plumber guy. He's pretty crazy do-it-yourselfer, amazingly capable. And he ran the pipes, and that's how he's heating it.
Yeah, if the temperature here would have warranted it, I love that type of heat, and have been in many homes that have had it in different climates, but. It's hard to justify here, so we just put on thicker socks.
Yeah, it's a very even and efficient heat because you don't have the drafts and the air moving.
It's very economical and good for you. It doesn't dry out. Doesn't dry out the environment that you're in. Probably the best heat source there is, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. So it's good ways. And I hope Janie does find a solution and doesn't spend a bunch of money that's not going to make her feel any more comfortable. That's the thing that stresses.
Well, if she deals with Austin, they won't lead her down that path. They'll let them know.
Good deal. All right. I don't know that we want. Let's don't tackle any more emails. I think we're right up against this thing, and we'll start something and not be able to finish it. So
Let me get this quick. Vinny wrote us a quick note and said thanks for the tip on the cabinets.
Okay.
And he also said that he had that same issue with his crawl space and the furnace or the air mover, and they put another return in and solved that problem.
Ah, there you go. Okay. That's what you thought. Awesome. Well, folks, this has been another 2 hours of Home Improvement. We hope it was as informative for you as it was enjoyable for us. And each week we like to remind you that we think the most important kind of home improvement is the one that makes your home a happier place to live in. Don't forget to work on that project this week. See you next week on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.